Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Brewcast from Mason Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Luke Yardy and Scotty White here with you on Wednesday, March 15th, the eve, of kicking off the NCAA tournament as we head into Thursday, March 16th. We are going to be talking some hoops here, but not as much NCAA tournament hoops. We're going to be talking the other tournament, which is the only one that matters, obviously. That is the NIT, with Michigan getting a win last night over Toledo at Chrysler. Scotty White, how are we doing here today, my man?
Doing pretty good. We were last recording a week ago on the eve of Michigan's Big Ten tournament game against Rutgers, talking about what the future looked like for Michigan. And it didn't go too well, so here we are in the NIT. But you know, I'm at least I get some Michigan basketball to watch. So it could be worse. But yeah, I'm doing well.
I think that was probably the most poorly aged episode ever aired, given our predictions for the Big Ten tournament. Man, I got Purdue making the Big Ten championship game. Might have been the only thing I got right out of that whole thing.
Yeah, I said Ohio State was going to have some luck and have a little bit of a run. I was right about that, but other than that, pretty dead wrong. Nebraska lost to Minnesota in the first game. I did not see that coming. It was a tough tournament to predict. I will say that it was a chaotic Big Ten tournament for sure. But yeah, our predictions were not close.
I was bad, man. I thought Purdue was going to lose to Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. But Indiana at least made it to the semifinals for me, so I had that. But other than that, man, it was a brutal, brutal stretch for the kid. But congratulations to Purdue on the Big Ten championship, their first since 2009. It was still a very entertaining tournament.
Oh, it was. It was one of the more exciting tournaments that I can remember. And it's always fun seeing – obviously, I wish that the 13 seed that made it far wasn't Ohio State, because it's cool to see – teams that struggled all year long make a run in their conference tournament. But I was starting to get a little nervous about Ohio State towards the end. I just wanted them to stop at Friday. You know, that's the only thing I predicted. But Penn State, seeing Penn State go to the Big Ten championship was pretty cool. I was definitely rooting for them to pull it off against Purdue. But yeah, that was certainly an exciting week for them, kind of sitting on the bubble going into the weekend and then firmly found themselves in the tournament after that run. But yeah, it was a ton of good games, ton of upsets. I mean, the first 2 days, I think the worst seed won the first, five, six games. I mean, it was certainly a crazy tournament.
Yeah, it was a crazy second half for Michigan against Rutgers, man. Would they not make a field goal for the last 19 freaking minutes of that game? It was, oh, dude, what a just about as bad a performance as I ever could have imagined, Scotty, in the second half of that game. When your season is on the line and to have a performance like that, man, I'm be honest, I was a little sick to my stomach.
Yeah, that was very hard to watch, especially, dude, like, I really thought Michigan was going to win that game easily. Like, at the beginning of the game, I wasn't nervous. I really thought Michigan was gonna win that one with ease, and it got off to a great start too. Got out to a quick 9-2 lead. You know, was kind of holding on to a 5-7 point lead for most of the first half, and then just like that, it stopped working. Michigan was going to Hunter Dickinson early, and it was working, and then it stopped, and they didn't have any other plan. And then that's when the field goals stopped falling. It was a good 19-minute stretch with no field goals, and you are simply not going to win a basketball game or be close to winning a basketball game when that happens.
I mean, the game plan going in, obviously, was running the offense through Hunter, and that was great in the first half. But, man, when Rutgers adjusted, you got to have some sort of counterpunch, and Michigan didn't. If they didn't have anything run through Hunter and Hunter making passes or plays or scoring the basketball, the offense was absolutely nothing in the second half. It was bad to watch, man. I was kind of sick to my stomach on that one.
Yeah, it was the offense just went completely stagnant and didn't look like there was any sort of plan. And even with the first big drought, you know, going into, 8-9 minutes to go in the game, it was still a game. Right. And it genuinely seemed like the turning point was when no one boxed out the shooter on the free throw, and the shooter went right up and got the rebound and got an easy put back layup. And just from that moment, Rutgers just ran away with the game. And it epitomized the entire season for Michigan.
I mean, just the lack of fight. And, you know, it really pissed me off. You know, Jet, obviously, if you go watch that play, right, Jet Howard has the responsibility of boxing out the free throw shooter because Doug McDaniel on the other side is pinching down low. So Jet, he's going to leave Hunter one-on-one to box out for the rebound. He's going to take the shooter, and he just stands there. And then he throws his freaking hands up. Like it was somebody else's fault that happened. Like, it was just it like you said, it epitomized the season, kind of epitomized what we kind of felt was the culture within the team here this year. They just didn't have a lot of fight, and that's why they lost so many damn close games to Virginia, Kentucky, losing to Central Michigan. Like, they did not have it in them here this year. And we'll get into the NIT and playing last night a little bit, but I think that this is going to be a big offseason, right? Because I think Juwan Howard needs to take a full-on, deep, hard, introspective look at his program and the way that he wants his program to look after this offseason, because they just, like, you think back to the year they won the Big Ten championship, that team had a ton of fight, right? It was led by, like, Isaiah Livers and, you know, Austin Davis and Franz was there in his second year, and they had guys like Shondi Brown who came in and just gave that spark. You could tell that he was just an absolute dog out there and just competing with every fiber of his being. This team did not have that here this year. They felt like they were okay with losing at times. So I mean you got to take a good hard look on the culture you've established right now if you're Juwan Howard, and it has to change moving forward, because, you know, your job is safe for now, but, man, you can't have too many years where you're missing the tournament with this much talent on a roster.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's not like we're going to be seeing Juwan going anywhere during this offseason, but yeah, it will certainly be crucial. You know, I remember back when I was a kid, it wasn't always, you know, the standard that Michigan basketball makes the tournament, has a really good season, but John Beilein built that to be the standard. And now you can't miss the tournament when you're at Michigan now, and especially when you've got three NBA guys in your starting five. It's definitely going to be crucial. And one thing that I will say about Juwan is I definitely, like, you can tell that he's not like a, oh, you know, this is like, I don't need to change anything. Like, everything's working. Like, it was just an offer. Like, you saw, you know, he talked to Jay Wright, and he mentioned that he plans on having another conversation with Jay Wright later in the offseason. So I really do think that Juwan is well aware of the problems and that he's got to fix something. And I think that he is definitely going to do his best. I really hope that he talks to Jay Wright again, because obviously Jay Wright's one of the best coaches of all time. But yeah, there's certainly a lot to be fixed, and I think that he knows that.
Yeah, for sure. But I will say, I do, you know, I know he caught a lot of flack for it, but obviously Michigan wasn't going to make the NCAA tournament. And after the selection show later on that night, there was the NIT selection show. And I mean, you know, Hunter's on the Roundball podcast and whatnot, you know, and they're kind of watching it live and whatnot, and they get the 2 seed, which turned out to be a 3 seed later. But I felt like I couldn't tell at first, but I feel like there was genuine excitement, right? And it the season sucked. It didn't go the way that we wanted. The expectation is to make the NCAA tournament. But on the flip side of that, like, I think everyone in their life, you know what I'm saying, you got to embrace kind of the situation that you're in. You can't do anything about it now. And I think it would be far worse to just sulk and, you know, be pissed about it, feel sorry for yourself, kind of like what UNC did and just pussing out of this thing. You got to embrace, you know, what you did. You're not too good for the NIT, right? There are 68 teams that are too good for the NIT, and they're all playing here this weekend. You are not too good to play in the NIT. Embrace the situation. Understand you get another chance to compete here, and I feel like that was kind of the mindset that he had, and hopefully the mindset of the team. And you go to yesterday with Toledo, and I saw you were there, you absolute madman.
Yes, sir. I did go to the game, and I'm not going to lie, it was a really, really fun game to go to, man. Like, going into the game, I hadn't thought much about, you know, the whole NIT thing, and I wasn't really, you know, finding myself, you know, super nervous as if it were an NCAA tournament game. But then, you know, I started to think about it. I was like, you know, it would still be cool to win the NIT, you know? It's not like winning 5 games in a row and winning a tournament isn't cool. Obviously, it's no NCAA tournament, but, you know, it's still something to celebrate, in my opinion. And also, there was a really annoying Toledo fan sitting by me. And as soon as I started hearing this guy, I was like, oh, we need to win this game. And then I definitely found myself getting more into it as the game went on. But yeah, I mean, the beginning of the game too, I mean, Michigan just didn't look like they wanted to be there. The fans, like, Toledo's not too far from Ann Arbor, so there were a decent amount of Toledo fans there. And it kind of seemed like at the beginning, like, you know, Michigan didn't want to be here. You were kind of embarrassed. The Toledo fans, though, they're thrilled to be here. Like, they had the momentum. I think Michigan just settled in and kind of embraced that, you know, yeah, we didn't make the tournament, but we're still here as a team. We're still playing basketball. Like, let's go out and, you know, try to get a trophy. And yeah, I mean, it was a really fun game, very entertaining. I wish that they got the 2 seed, though, so we could have another home game at Chrysler, but going to Vanderbilt on Saturday, that'll be interesting.
Yep, going to Vandy, man. And, you know, it was a great offensive performance. You know, four of the 5 starters scored 16 plus. Kobe Bufkin had 23. Joey Baker had 21, 5 of 7 from deep. Where has that guy been? Doug McDaniel was 16. Hunter Dickinson with 19. Like, yeah, like you said, early on, it didn't look good. But, man, did they find something to work in the second half, putting up 50 points. And, yeah, it's an exciting game, 90-80, right? You're getting a lot of good up-and-down basketball, a lot of made shots. And it's just completely different from the grind of the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, the offensive difference between Michigan's game against Rutgers and yesterday is
no kidding.
Very, very humorous. Yeah, it was definitely a game to bet the over. I was also curious to ask, because they didn't sell tickets for the Upper Bowl. So I was wondering, did they show the Upper Bowl on TV, or did they make it look like Chrysler was actually really packed for the game?
No, they made it show like Chrysler was packed, but I'm seeing it was about 36% full, and they completely like blacked out the Upper Bowl. So you couldn't really see up there on TV.
Yeah, they didn't even sell tickets for it, because I I went to get tickets and I was like, oh, there's nothing available in the Upper Bowl, but the Lower Bowl has stuff that's interesting. And yeah, they didn't even sell tickets for it. So I'm sure it looked pretty packed on TV.
Man, for some of those games, they should consider doing that in the regular season, you know, because there's sometimes you look at Chrysler and watch some of these games, man, you're like, where is everyone?
Yeah, definitely. It certainly made it look full.
Yeah, but hey, a win's a win. I did find myself still like caring. You know, I was wondering. Yeah, I went into the game and I was like, am I going to care about this game? Because I wasn't 100% sure, you know. And then I found myself caring and wanting Michigan to win. So I guess, you know, sucks that Michigan's not in the NCAA tournament. But again, got to embrace the situation that you're in. And if you're going to play, you might as well win the thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's gotten me to, you know, tussle with some scenarios in my head. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't remember, honestly, the last time that Michigan went to the NIT and like watching the game. So I was like, yeah, like, am I going to find myself caring about it? And then,
right,
you know, the second half when Michigan got this momentum going, dude, the like 3 3-pointers right out of the gate, like I'm out of my seat, like screaming, like that was fun. Yeah, it's really got me thinking, like, if Michigan had made the tournament, probably looking at an 11 seed. And I'm curious what your thoughts on this. Would you rather go to the NCAA tournament, lose in the first game, or go to the, as an 11 seed, and go to the NIT and win the whole thing?
NCAA tournament, 11 seed, lose the first game 100 times out of 100.
Okay. That's yeah. that's kind of where I'm leaning, but I'm still like, you know, winning the NIT, it'd be something.
It would be, I hesitate to say cool. Like, I want them to win the NIT, right? But like, who won the NIT last year, Scotty?
You got me.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. You know, I got no freaking idea, man. Yep, I got zero idea. I remember I was excited when Michigan won it in like 2003, 2004 with Tommy Amaker and Daniel Horton and some of those guys. Like, I was excited then because Michigan just didn't make the tournament back then. So to go to the NIT and win it, like, hey, Michigan's winning basketball games, this is cool. But now that it's established, like, I hope Michigan wins the NIT. I don't want to do this every year.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. Yeah, that was a good point. I have no idea who played in, made one.
Not a clue who even played in the NIT championship last year. Nothing, man.
Yeah. Well, also, dude, that was pretty crazy, too, that Rutgers was, you know, the biggest snub of the tournament, and then they lose to Hofstra.
Oh, man, that is a horrible way to end a pretty good season if you're a Rutgers fan.
It really is, dude. That is absolutely brutal. I thought Rutgers was probably going to win the whole thing.
Also wanted to ask you, so obviously Joey Baker, he had a bit of an up and down season, we'll call it, for Michigan here this year, but had a huge game against Toledo. Well, after the game, we got some information about him. He's applying to get his redshirt year or his freshman year redshirted. And if he's able, if they grant that, the NCAA, he wants to come back to Michigan. I was wondering what your thoughts on that were.
Honestly, I think that would be awesome. I really like Joey Baker. I know he had his moment. He had ups and downs. He had his moments this year, but like games like yesterday show, he can be a really, really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like that was the first time that happened. You know, there were some other games where he really got cooking, and he can shoot it. And then, you know, that's why he was brought here. So I think another year in the system, and you know, all that experience, I mean, what, he'd be 23 next year, 24 maybe. I honestly don't really know, but obviously he's got a lot of experience in college basketball. So I certainly think that if he gets that and he wants to come back, I would definitely be happy to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I think another year in the system, maybe a year with Camp Sanderson, would certainly do wonders. We don't know what the future holds. I would imagine Chet Howard is 100% gone. Not sure on Kobe Bufkin, but man, would love to have him back. Like you think about it, and this team, that they could be solid. I don't know how deep they'll be. I know they don't have much of a recruiting class because of the scholarship situation, but you bring Cheddar back, Doug comes back. If you get Bufkin to come back, Terrace will almost certainly be here. Youssef got in the game a little bit last night. That was cool to see. Hopefully he pans out a little bit, but you know, this is where you go. This is why getting these, I don't think these are crucial necessarily, these games in the NIT, but just getting more time together, more practice, being able to go out and win some games together, I think it could have a long-term minimal but good effect on the future of the program.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, it's similar prep to an NCAA tournament game too. You know, you get a bracket, you're not exactly sure who you're going to see in the next game. You don't have a ton of time to prepare for it. So yeah, I mean, getting any tournament experience and getting a more game experience for these young guys is certainly going to be beneficial. But yeah, looking at who returns next year, I mean, let's say Joey Baker, Hunter Dickinson, Jet Howard, and Kobe Bufkin all come back, then shit. I mean, Michigan will be preseason.
I don't think that's happening, but you know.
Right. I would be completely shocked too. But I mean, let's say that all four of those guys leave. I mean, what are the preseason expectations looking like in your eyes?
Yeah.
For that team, you know?
Yeah, it would be, you know, compete for, you know, 500 in the Big Ten, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that, I would imagine. It's just, you'd have to hit the portal. It all depends what they do in the portal and everything like that, too. You know what I'm saying? But although I will say, you know, getting George Washington finally coming in, that's good. That's going to be huge. This kid's going to have a lot of hype surrounding him, I think. So,
yeah. Just won Gatorade Player of the Year in Ohio, I saw.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, we'll see, man. And it's going to be, and then the following year, getting Christian Anderson, man. That mm-hmm. kid's going to be incredible. Hope he stays committed to Michigan here. But I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. As of right now, just I have no, you know, no insider info or anything like that. Just gut feeling. I think Jett and Hunter will be gone here this offseason. The other guys, they're pretty up in the air. But I mean, could be a solid season next year. We'll see what happens. But Michigan's not done quite yet. They're going to play at Vanderbilt Saturday at noon. Vanderbilt, man, they've been playing some good basketball here lately. So this is not going to be a pushover. That's for sure. I mean, they, you know, they lost to Texas A&M in the, I think the SEC title game, semifinal game. I can't really remember, but beat LSU and Kentucky to get there. Actually beat Kentucky a couple of times down the stretch of the season, beat Mississippi State, beat Auburn, beat Tennessee. Like this team, Jerry Stackhouse has his team absolutely balling right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Cause you know, Saturday is the bulk of NCAA tournament action, round of 32 getting underway. But I mean, I'm certainly going to be watching Michigan. So yeah, I mean, first time in a while substituting the NIT out for the tournament. But yeah, I mean, it should be a good game, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. You know, a true road game on March 18th. That is something. And yeah, one of the hotter teams right now. I watched a little bit of the game against Yale too. They looked pretty good. So hopefully Michigan can find a way to push on to the NIT Elite Eight, but that'll certainly be a tough one.
Sport for Brewcast, thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Gotta get that beard taken care of. Get that beard hedger pro kit, from a beard trim to a fresh shave. Technology behind the beard hedger pro kit allows you to shape that signature beard look. You get that awesome cordless trimmer, 20 hair cutting lengths, all with one guard. You get the titanium coated T-blade on that thing, the beard shampoo and conditioner, beard oil, beard balm. You're going to be styling and profiling, and we are going to save you some money on it as well. Head to manscaped.com, insert promo code MNB20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's MNB20 and 20% off for free shipping. So going to switch gears here real quick. And Scotty, he covers Michigan baseball for Maze and Brew. So Scotty, how's the early season going? I can't believe it's baseball season, man. I've got like 8 feet of snow outside my window right now, so I'm not even thinking about baseball. But Michigan's been in action. New coach here this year. How's everything going?
Yeah, I can't believe it's here either, man. It's these football season and basketball season went by fast. The beginning of the season hasn't been the best for Michigan so far. But you know, it's to be expected. Michigan lost a great coach in Eric Bakich, and lost some transfers with him. Riley Bertram followed him over to Clemson. So you know, it's kind of to be expected that Michigan wasn't going to come out firing on all cylinders in this early season. They did have the home opener in Ann Arbor, which you mentioned the snow. I always, you know, see Michigan posting about the home opener, and I'm like, how are they already getting going? It's still freezing cold outside. I'm in Ann Arbor right now. There's some snow on the ground. And I remember back in my high school baseball days, these late March games were not fun by any means. So it's been a lot of travel for Michigan so far. Some of the highlights in the Shriners College Classic, a great opportunity for Michigan there, just playing against some really good teams. They played TCU, Louisville, and Texas Tech, all ranked teams. It didn't go well. They did not win any of the games, but still good experience for the team. But yeah, Big Ten season gets going pretty soon. See, this will be posted, I think, Thursday or Friday. It gets going on the 24th, next Friday. So yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people complain during the summer that, you know, there's no sports on besides baseball, but I personally am a huge baseball fan. And this new Michigan coach and squad, I think everybody should be checking them out.
What, do you have an outlook on the Big Ten? How's it looking here this year?
I mean, the Big Ten is, definitely not one of the stronger conferences typically. You know, they've got the disadvantage with, you know, these SEC schools and, you know, these warmer places they get to play all year round. But Maryland is always a really good team. They usually find a way into the tournament. Michigan has usually been on top, but I'm not going to lie. I'd be surprised if Michigan made a push for the College World Series. But yeah, I would keep my eye on Maryland and Rutgers as probably the top two teams in the conference.
All right. Sound good. Who are some players to watch for us, man, on this team?
Well, I will say one player for Michigan that is really interesting to play for or to keep an eye on is somebody that I actually used to play baseball with when I was in high school. His name is Eamon Horwettle. Went to Skyline High School, and it's actually a really funny story. He went to Ohio before transferring back to Michigan. And he was always a just lights out pitcher in high school. And then he injured his arm and ended up playing on a beer league team with me and my friends one summer a couple of years ago, re-injured his arm on my beer league team. I felt terrible. And he had to totally switch his throwing motion. He's throwing sidearm now and was able to go to the Michigan coaching staff and get to throw a bullpen in front of him. And they really liked what they saw. So he's a relief pitcher now. Keep an eye on him. But Michigan does also have some really good upperclassmen that I think will be great leaders on this team and will give Michigan a chance to make a push in the Big Ten season. Ted Burton, really good player. But I think that Michigan's MVP this year is going to be Jimmy Overtop. He's injured right now, but when he comes back, I think he's going to have a monster season.
All right, man. Looking forward to a fun baseball season. See, they got a little series with Bradley coming up here this weekend. I hope you guys aren't getting as bad as I am, man. It's projected about 2 feet of snow starting on Friday up here through Sunday. So yeah,
no, we're not seeing anything like that now. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you, man. You know what? Honestly, I'm gonna be snowed in, so I'm just gonna have the TVs going, watching basketball all weekend. Yeah, I'm just gonna pretend it's not happening.
I mean, honestly, man, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good.
Real quick, let's go back to the tournament as a whole before we sign off here. I got to know the Final Four, Scotty. I'm sure you filled out a bracket or multiple. What do we got the Final Four looking like?
Of course. Let me pull up my bracket super fast here. I did one the past couple of days. I've been playing a ton of pool in my basement. I played every single game in on my pool table. So that one was pretty funny. Nice. But I've got in my bracket Alabama, Duke, Texas A&M, and Kansas, with Kansas taking the title over the Crimson Tide. Rock chalk.
Kansas
rock.
Going back to back. All righty, dude. Yes, I've got an interesting one here. I've got Houston in the Final Four playing UConn on the right side of the bracket. I've got Creighton in the Final Four taking on Kentucky. And then I've got Houston beating Creighton in the national championship game here this year. So
I like that. I think Kentucky and Duke they're going to find a way to meet up.
Oh man, that would be wild. Absolutely, man. It's going to be that bottom left region, man. I think it is the East. It is, man. Yeah. It is something. It is going to be a wild ride there.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm excited. It doesn't really seem like there's a far and away best team this year.
No, this tournament has a chance to be absolutely nuts, man.
Oh yeah, that's the tournament. That's why I pencil in Kansas. If it doesn't seem like there's a clear cut best team,
Kansas is going to find a way.
Yep, that's kind of what it seemed like last year too.
Right. Should be fun, man. Enjoy the weekend. Hey, Scotty, where can we find you on social media? Excuse me.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @ScottyWhite_. Like I said, I'll be covering the baseball team this year. So if you guys get into the baseball season, you can find all the stuff on there.
And you can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Maize and Brew Twitter page as well, at Maize and Brew. And a reminder that we are an SB Nation podcast for now. The transition is beginning to the Fan First Sports Network. You don't have to do anything. You're not going to have to go out of your way to resubscribe or anything like that. But we are going to be under the new name, the Block M Podcast Network. If you're curious what FFSN is, it's a team of podcasters formerly from SB Nation who are discontinued under the SB Nation platform due to cost-saving efforts. And we're all going to be going over to FFSN. It's an exciting new opportunity. Hope you'll be along with us for the ride. Again, you're not going to have to do anything, but we'll have more details coming on that within the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for us on Brewcast. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the hoops happening here. For my partner, Scotty White, I'm Luke Ghiardi, and we'll see you next week.